I want to set some context for what we're about to read. So before we turn to Psalm 32, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Give you a better appreciation for the verse we're going to look at if we do that. Psalm 139, we're going to begin our reading in verse 1. Psalm 139. Pay close attention to the comprehensiveness of God's knowledge of us. O Lord, you have searched me. That word means to dig down deep. You've searched me and you know me. That is totally comprehensively. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying downs and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Now, in light of that, turn back with me now to Psalm 32, because we're going to look at Psalm 32 and actually just look at the first two verses of Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Hear again God's word. Blessed, that is, oh, the happiness, is the one whose transgression is forgiven. And notice this next phrase, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Keep your Bibles open right there at Psalm 32. This is God's Word. Let us look to God in prayer. Lord, as we approach the table this morning, as we prepare to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Lord, press upon us, our minds and our consciences, one reason, at least one reason, many reasons, but at least one reason why we so desperately need what is pictured here in this sacrament. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some people would think of what I'm about to tell you as nothing more than just a silly teenage anxiety. But for me, in high school, it was a major issue. And that is, my senior year in high school, I had a date. That by itself was amazing. But I had a date to the Hattiesburg High School homecoming dance, and I had a date with a lovely lady I had been dying to ask out, probably for 3 years. Well, I was in fact so stunned by her yes to my invitation that as soon as she said yes, my anxiety shifted into overdrive. So much so, by the day of the dance, I had a zit on my forehead. It was so big, it looked like a third eye. I mean, so the issue became, what am I going to do to keep from looking like a three-eyed creature, one of those characters from the movie Monsters, Inc.? Well, my mom had the solution to the problem. She most always did. And the solution was this. Here, Stevie, I have some concealer to cover your flaw. Now, interesting choice of words. Concealer to cover your flaw. Now, since that time, and for the past 50 plus years, I've seen countless efforts by countless people, both male and female, to cover their blemishes and flaws, because in spite of our denials, we really are anxious about what people see when they look at us, are we not? Now, let's take that anxiety over appearance and amp it up as we consider how absolutely apprehensive we become when we think of people becoming publicly aware of some weakness in our personality. People becoming publicly aware of moral missteps we have made in the past. When people know those low-grade addictions against which we struggle in the present. You see, our past and present weaknesses, our moral missteps, our addictions exposed for everyone to see. Can we say anxiety attack? Friends, having something bad, something negative about you exposed for all to see, that's bad enough. People get embarrassed as their names are posted on scandal-filled media, social media every day. But there's something even more terrifying to consider this morning as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Now, you saw it for yourself in Psalm 139, first two stanzas of that. Everything public and private, inward and outward about us, every move we make, every step we take, every vow we break, every smile we fake, every sin we commit, every action, our speech, our thoughts, our inmost thoughts, the things we've never shared that just go on in our heads, everything about us, everything is totally exposed to God. Now, how unnerving, how discombobulating is that? This morning, as we consider Psalm 32, especially verse 1, we're going to look at this verse from two perspectives, the perspective of our problem and then the perspective of God's provision. Our problem, God's provision. We're going to spend a mercifully short amount of time on our problem. Notice in the first place, the problem we all share. A problem we all share. And it can be summed up in two words right from the text here. Look, transgression and sin. We all share this problem. None of us wants anyone to witness, even be aware of the sin and transgressions lurking right here in the shadow of our hearts. How we hide, how we conceal our deep moral flaws, how we curate at least a respectable public image. In other words, none of us wants this ugly moral acne of our deepest sin exposed. We don't want people who respect us to see our moral blemishes, to see our private sin exposed to the world. And unless you're a psychopath, and I'm assuming you're not, we cannot bear up under the shame of being publicly exposed. We cannot handle it. Well, our common problem is this. Unless God intervenes, one day every sinful deed, every sinful word, every sinful thought will be exposed. I want to give you a paraphrase of Luke chapter 18, verse 17. This is a paraphrase that's just amplified a little bit for you to understand just what's being talked about here. Jesus said, "There is nothing hidden, Nothing secret that will not be brought into the open, made manifest, and nothing concealed, nothing buried away, nothing out of sight that will not be dredged up, brought out into the bright light, and be known to every person. Now, we all have furniture in our house. We look at our furniture, it looks pretty good. Shiny, pretty. It's inside the house. We just take it outside sometime on a bright sunny day. You'll see that furniture has serious flaws. It has cuts, it has scratches, has cobwebs, it has allergy triggering dust. You wouldn't see that if it wasn't for the bright sunlight. Well, part of what's going to make the final judgment so incredibly unbearable for us is the sheer shame of everything, every dark deed, word, and thought being revealed for everybody to see on something much more massive, much more advanced than any IMAX screen. How absolutely unnerving. Unless God does something. And that brings us to the second part. I said the first part would be mercifully short. It was. We talked about the problem we all share. Notice in the second place, the provision God gives us. So we want to focus on this morning. Not the problem that we share. That's obvious enough. I hope it is. But the provision God gives us. Verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now, what do you do when you cover something? Well, if you watch a gruesome movie, you cover your eyes lest you see something so horrifying it haunts you in your dreams later on that night. We cover our tracks when we've been somewhere we're not supposed to have been. We hear a media story about a cover-up to protect the reputation of some crooked politician. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, they covered up their nakedness lest they be seen and experience the shame of the exposure of their nakedness. But when it comes to our sins, God's provision is this. Great news. God covers our sins. He hides those sins from view. Now you may say, in what sense is my sin hidden? It may be exposed publicly. But you know that some sins are written up in the paper, on websites, internet, broadcasted on local news. The point of verse 1 is this: when our sins are covered by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is represented right here in the cup, our sins can no longer be used against us. Our sins can no longer bring God's condemnation, God's judgment against us. Nevermore, this verse, a host of other verses in the Bible assure us, and hear this carefully, our sin will never be exposed for the purpose of being the legal grounds on which we are cast aside. Never exposed on being the legal grounds for which we will be forsaken eternally. And by the way, speaking of legal, in the land of television, some of you have TV land, some of you have me TV, where you see Westerns and Andy and Gomer. The most famous criminal defense attorney ever is a Los Angeles attorney by the name of Perry Mason. Perry Mason was played with exceptional skill by actor Raymond Burr. And for nine seasons, Perry Mason, assisted by his private investigator Paul Drake and Secretary Della Street, for 9 seasons, Perry Mason never lost a case. Because when all was said and done and investigated, all the people that Perry Mason defended were innocent. Which brings us to an obvious, massive difference between Perry Mason and Jesus Christ. And it's this. You see, unlike Mason, all of Jesus' clients, including you and me, all of Jesus' clients are guilty. We all have enough incriminating evidence against us to banish us forever to the Shawshank prison of outer darkness. And the only way we avoid the eternal, horrific prison of hell is if our defense attorney, Jesus Christ, makes sure that no evidence against us that would ever indict us ever comes to light. But how? How is our sin covered from God the Father, who is our judge, jury, and executioner? How? After all, He is a God of justice, isn't He? Well, here's how. On the cross, Jesus, who was the only sinless person who ever lived, took our sin upon Himself. In the words of Paul the Apostle, Jesus became sin for us. You see, justice has been served because the person receiving God's justice for our sins was Jesus. Whatever punitive consequences there may be for your spiritual felonies, Jesus has been punished in your place for your sin. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, the hymn writer says, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Our substitute, Jesus, punished for our sins. So what happens to our sin? Well, according to Psalm 32, verse 1, our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. You see, God looks at us. And you know what God doesn't see? He doesn't see our sin. It's covered. What God does see when He looks at us is the righteousness of Jesus. Not our righteousness, but His righteousness credited to us. And as we approach the table of the Lord this morning, we need to understand, because Jesus paid in full the penalty for all our sins, past, present, and future, no one can ever condemn you eternally. You see, Jesus has already been condemned in your place for your sin. Jesus has been punished for your sin. Your sin is taken care of. This morning in heaven's courthouse, you have a defense attorney. His name is Jesus Christ. And here's the case He's pleading before the judge of the living and the dead. Here's how Jesus, our defense attorney, pleads His case. Now you fill in your name here in this blank. I'm going to use my name, but you fill in yours. Your Honor, the guilt for Steve's sin has been paid by me. Or the guilt for Steve's sin has been laid upon me. You see, I died as punishment for his sin. Your justice has been served. And the sin of Steve, all his sin, is covered by my blood shed on the cross. The truth of God's covering came home to me in a powerful way one morning several years ago, when in the middle of a morning walk, a massive rainstorm with thunder and lightning just sort of blew in. I was terrified. The lightning might hit me. The rain was blowing so hard I thought it would knock me down. And the only hope I had in this storm was if I ran for cover. I found shelter. I was protected from the rain and the wind and the lightning. Friends, every day of your life, for the rest of your life, the only hope you have of not experiencing to the fullest degree the full fury of God's eternal wrath is if you run for cover. And the only cover you have is the cross, where Jesus died on the cross to cover your sin. You see, you never have to fear. You never have to fear that one day your sins are going to be exposed on Judgment Day. And the only reason you can't fear that is because you ran to the only shelter sufficient to cover every one of your sins. And that is the cross. Let me remind you, one of the geniuses in building this church sanctuary, in my opinion, is this. You walk in and you see the cross. You know what that means? That means when you walk in this church, the very first thing that should pop into your mind is this. Thank you, God. My sins are covered. My sins are covered forever because of what happened on the cross. This morning, everybody in this world is doing one of two things. Everybody. They're either running from their sin, hiding from their sin, trying to distance themselves from their sin, which they can't do, or they're running to the shelter that only the cross provides. So where do you stand? Are you running from your sin? Are you running to the cross? This morning we celebrate that God has given us the provision of running to the cross and our sin being covered. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we look at the cross, Lord, help us to remember it is the hope we have that our sins really are covered. They will never be brought up to you for the purpose of condemning us. And Lord, that is only because of the transaction that happened on the cross. Lord, we thank you that your Son became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God, not our own self-righteousness. Let's forget about that. But instead, the righteousness of the cross. Lord, may we partake of this Lord's Supper as people who have been covered and people who are trusting in Christ alone. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.